Hi, and welcome to the Japan Baseball Weekly Podcast brought to you by Shooters in Nagoya. I'm John Gibson, and with me as always is Jim Allen. What's happening, buddy?
Hey, John, how's it going? Things are good. We're all set for the Japan series now, man.
The matchup is all set up, and my apologies to you and your Swallows, but what a great season, man.
Hey, no problems. I didn't have a lot of high hopes that they would win. I didn't think they'd get through the first stage, but no, they played well. They were good. They matched up well against the Dragons. It didn't happen. They could easily have won the series. They didn't. And best of luck to the Dragons.
All right. Well, we're going to discuss those series. We're going to discuss the SoftBank Hawks finally getting past the second stage of the PL Climax Series.
That's amazing.
And we're gonna talk about the CLCS second stage and then answer some listener questions. So let's get started by clearing the bases. Woohoo! All right, the Hawks, man.
The Hawks.
They did it.
Unbelievable.
It really is, and I mean, they did it in three quick games, and I kind of even don't even remember them. I mean, they were so fast.
I mean,
that was fast. You blink, you're done.
I don't know if people remember this, but when the Pacific League started this postseason craze in 2004, they decided that the first place team should have some kind of advantage. In the second stage, if
not every conceivable advantage.
Now they're going to play every game at home, but they should also have an edge if they finish five games or better ahead of the second place team. They should get a one game advantage in what was then a best of five playoff series.
Yeah.
So, but the problem is that never worked. Okay, so 2004, the Lions come down and they stomp the Hawks, who were the regular season champions. Mm-hmm. Okay, we'll get to another funny thing there, but the Lions then took over as the Pacific League champions.
Right.
The Pacific League champions was decided in the second stage of the playoffs. Okay, 2005, we have the Marines coming down. The Marines beat the Lions in the first stage and sweep the Lions in Chiba, and then they come down, and they are they're two outs from sweeping the Hawks.
Yes, they were.
And Masahide Kobayashi blows the save in epic fashion. I think he gives up four runs in the ninth inning. I think he blows a four-run lead in the ninth inning. And anyway, that game goes the distance, but because the Marines didn't finish within five games of the Hawks, they didn't have that one-game advantage. And all this time, Sadahara, the manager, was saying, we don't need the advantage, we just have to play better. Okay, blah, blah, blah. Okay, now, after that, the Pacific League says, okay, we've had it. The regular season champs have lost 2 years in a row. They're going to get the one-game advantage, whether we like it or not,
mm-hmm.
regardless. Okay, this year, the Hawks finished third, and this is 2006. This is on the heels of Japan's WBC triumph. O is in the hospital all year, and the Hawks finish sixth, and they beat the Cebu Lions. They finish third. They beat the Cebu Lions. They go in three games. They go to Sapporo, but because they finished more than five games behind the Fighters, they get swept in two.
See ya.
So the rule, and when O got the rule, he said, good, this will really help, this will make a difference, and it sure did, because the Fighters used stupid, they used Darvish, and they used the rookie of the year that year, the lefty, and his name escapes me now, hasn't really been the same since, and Yagi, yes, and that was sayonara, and then the Fighters did to the Dragons what they did to the Hawks, pretty much.
Yep.
Okay, so anyway, so we're moving along, and things get, the Central League gets on the bandwagon, and they have a climax series, and says, okay, none of this nonsense about the playoffs deciding the league champion. The league champion is the league champion, and the playoffs are now a quarterfinals and semifinals for the Japan series. Okay.
Right.
So the Hawks go into this in 2000. Eight was O's last year. They didn't make it. The team finished last. 2009, they finished third. They go to Tohoku Rakuten. They lose. Last year, they win the league. Bam. They win the league by percentage points. And the Lions come. The Lions don't even get a chance.
Yeah, we were expecting the Lions and the third-place Marines. come marching over.
They were expecting the Lions, and it was like, wait, who are these guys? These are the guys who were supposed to win. And bam! Sucker punch. And they're out of the Japan Series again. So this year it's like, how good do the Hawks have to be to get to the Japan Series? And the answer is probably not even as good as they are now. They're pretty impressive. Sorry for the aside there.
No. Three-game sweep, 4-2, 7-2, and then 2-1, and an epic 2-1, 12-inning, meaningless bottom of the 12th.
Yes, a 2-1 victory that should have been a 1-1 tie.
Right. It should have ended after 11 and a half innings because, as Matsunaka, Noriko Matsunaka would tell you, as he was running onto the field to start
Everything was over. There was nothing to play for in the bottom of the 12th
until the bench called him back and said, it's not over! Get your butt back on
the field! Yeah, Watanabe, the Lions manager, was storming off towards the clubhouse. He was headed for the exit.
What is this? I mean, and you called this. I have to give it to you. We were in the office on Saturday together. And about the seventh or eighth inning, you called it and you said, you know, what if this thing goes all the way to the bottom of the, through the top of the 11th and it's still tied and they come out to play a meaningless bottom of the 12th? And I thought, nah, you know, I kept thinking, I'm always thinking, you know, well, no, that can't happen. It's going to be, I'm thinking positively. It's not going to happen. They're not, the baseball gods wouldn't torture us by making us sit through something like that. And then, boom, it happened.
There it is. And nobody knows what to do. The Hawks players, Matsunaka was the only one who ran on the field because he wasn't waiting for anybody else. A bunch of other guys were about to dash and they were waiting for the next guy to go and nobody quite went. So it was pretty weird. And a colleague of ours at the Japan Times, Wayne Grasick, has been, you know, we've been talking about this eventuality for years and we have had ties. The Giants advanced to the Japan Series thanks to a tie a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So we have had ties, but it's the first time we had a tie in the final game.
Right.
It's so dumb. All I could think of today was the heart of Japanese baseball darkness and somebody shaking their head after watching this game and watching the bottom of the 12th. And instead of Colonel Kurtz's the horror, the stupidity.
It is.
What is anybody thinking? Let's play the bottom of the 12th inning.
And
let's have meaningless games.
Let's have meaningless baseball. Let's drag it out. You know, everybody's just, you know, it's over. The fans want to celebrate. Matsunaga was just, doing what the rest of the players wanted to do, which was to rush the field and have fun. And they had to bottle it up, put the cork back in the champagne bottle and the bubbles and collect all that stuff and then go back and play baseball. But I got to hand it to the Hawks. They did a great job of ending it as quickly as
Thanks for that. You know, if I'm Watanabe, if I'm Nabe Q, I change my entire team. I put out the B team. I said, this is the beginning of fall camp from right now. You guys got to do your best. Because this is a joke.
Yeah.
Of course, most people will say, you know, I scanned through the papers today, and pretty much everybody mentioned it, but nobody seemed to think it was a problem through the Japanese papers.
You said them right, Jim Allen.
Well, the days when people listen to me are long over. The days when... you've had it now, bud.
I get that all the time at the office, so you got to give me that one. No, man, people listen to you, man. You can set them straight. I know you can do it.
Well, we know I fixed this. I single-handedly fixed Japan's save rule, but that's my last accomplishment.
All right. Well, getting back to the
series itself,
Seiichi Uchikawa, who, you know, the longtime loser with the Yokohama Bay Stars, and his first time, he's a longtime loser. I mean, you know,
his team, he played for bad teams for all his career.
He knows how to lose very well. Let's put it that way.
Okay, he's experienced in the art of losing. Yes, okay.
Art. But he was brilliant in his first postseason game. And he did well in the series. He was awesome.
Yes. Very astute observation there, old man.
Well, I was happy for him.
How can you not be happy for him? He's the nicest guy in the world, and he gives the best quotes. No player in Japanese baseball gives better quotes than Uchikawa. So
I don't know. I mean, I have actually never done a one-on-one interview with him. I just watched
yourself.
Well, I've done all the hero. I've watched a lot of hero interviews this
year. Hero interviews are are
with him. Yeah, I know, and that's what I'm thinking about. But, I mean, yeah. I trust you. I believe you.
Talk to him before the game. After the game, he tends to be curt. Anyway, moving along.
All right. Well, I mean, yeah, he got a two-run triple in the first game, and that helped him get the runs going and helped him win that game. And he had two hits in the clincher, even though they weren't in, you know.
And what a game. I mean, aside from all the nonsense about the rules, which the players didn't have anything, you know, didn't have any input on, what a game.
Yeah, 12 innings. Hideaki Wakui for the Lions pitched the game of his career for 9 innings.
Well, Sugiuchi, too. I mean, Sugiuchi, you look at the score, okay, Sugiuchi gave up the hit early, but he dominated the second half, you know, if Wakui dominated the first 5, Sugiuchi dominated the next 4.
Yeah, well, I mean, what was it, from the 4th to the, somewhere in the 10th inning or 9th inning, he didn't give up any hits, any base runners. He was amazing. Yeah, Sugiuchi was great.
Wakui walked one guy through 5, and that guy got thrown out stealing. And I'll tell you, the Lions, this game, well, it wasn't real close to getting a run, but it was close enough that if Tomura makes a bad throw, they could score. They could score the only run in 9 innings.
Well, that wasn't going to happen. We know he's a tool player, and throwing is one of those tools. The other tool, by the way, is Bashan.
That's the 6th tool. We just call him six.
Yeah, I don't know how to use that on the base.
Well, it used to be number 6 with the base star, so that's, I think that's where that came from.
All right. Well, I don't know how to use that on the baseball diamond, but more power to you, brother. But yeah, I mean, you know, he wasn't going to miss on that throw. That was just too easy. Like we were talking about, the ball was hit so hard.
Right.
It was just an unfortunate combination of the ball being hit very hard, the outfield kind of pinching in close,
right,
and the ball being hit right at him. And then, you know.
And he made the play. It wasn't a do or die play. I mean, he had some margin for error, but you never know. I mean, you know, that's the thing about that you do love about the game, is that if you take chances, sometimes they're going to pay off.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it was a chance. They had a chance. It wasn't 100% chance that he was going to throw him out. And that game, I'll tell you, if you looked at that game and said, well, let's see, we're not going to score through 10 innings, and we've got a 5% chance of getting this run home, I'm sending the guy.
Yeah. Well, Wakui throws a 9 2/3 inning, and he gives up a run. Sugiuchi goes 9 1/3 innings, and he gives up a run. And then they turn it over to the bullpens. And, I mean, you know, you couldn't ask for a better game, I tell you that. If you're, you know, obviously the Lions were playing for their playoff lives, and their backs were against the wall, and they
showed a lot of guts to get as far. I mean, this is a team that was buried, was written off by Johnny Gibson.
That's right.
Now, that's how bad things were getting. Even John ripped them off.
When I pull out the pen and write you off 9.9 times out of 10, you are done. And somehow.
Okay, so how many teams did you? Let's see. I think. Well, that's two third place teams that made the postseason this year. They got written off by you. So we'll. I mean, let's go that to see. You wrote the Giants off at one point.
I did, and I'm surprised you remember. And I flip flopped, and I think I caught some flack for that from one of my friends. He's like, you know, you can't change your prediction halfway through.
Wait. We got a weekly show. We can change. You're allowed one flip flop a week.
I only flipped that once, and I stayed with the Swallows, and you know, I was going to stay on them. And, you know, I jumped off the Hanshin bandwagon pretty quickly because they were even more.
True, I hung in there with Hanshin and Rockton for a while, but that's all right. Anyway, they're
we forgive you.
Well,
but so yeah, the Hawks, they're finally through. They got talent for days. I mean, look at the guy who comes out and knocks in these two runs, Yuya Hasegawa. Yeah. This is a guy doesn't start, could probably start on some other teams. I mean, you know,
he's got some skill. He's not as good. He had, you know, everything went right for him 1 year, and he was I think he won a best 9.
That was 2 years ago, right? 2009, I think.
Anyway, he had a really good year. Everything went right, and then nothing would go right. So obviously, he wasn't quite as good as his. He wasn't as good as his numbers suspected, which is normal. It happens. People play over their heads. Just there's so much chance in the game. You know, maybe they got runs of, you know, he got runs of bad pitches. He got runs of balls that weren't hit at people. These things happen.
Right.
He got better looks. He got better swings. It happens. It's a lot of it is chance. Anyway, so he was better than playing over his head. But he is a good player because usually don't see players of who perform at that level being complete and total duds. He's had trouble making the adjustment to being an average player when it looked like he was going to be a star.
Mm-hmm.
But he's a quality player. And
yeah, I see. In 2009, he batted .312. He had 584 at bats, or plate appearances, 509 at bats. I mean, and he was really productive. He was productive that year. Only 7 home runs, but he, 44 RBIs. And again, he played in 143 games, so he got a chance to play every day.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, he's not playing every day the next season, and even less this year. But even though he only played 125 regular season games, here he is knocking in the runs in the biggest game, the clinching game, I should say. It's not the biggest game, because had they lost that game, it wouldn't have been a big deal for them. They get to come back
next game. Yeah, he's 27 years old, and he wasn't a red-hot talent in the minor leagues, but so he did kind of come out of nowhere. We really don't know where his talent level is, but anyway, he's a quality player, and he's one of the guys who are in effect fringe players for the Hawks. They've got about a dozen of these guys who could probably make a B team that would finish, that would beat the Yokohama Bay Stars in a best of 7 series.
Are you picking on the Bay Stars, man? Is that what I hear in there?
No.
I mean, you could have easily been the Eagles right there, but you said the Bay Stars. You're picking on my man, Michael Westbay, aren't you?
It could have been, but you see, Sledgy and Harper have both gone back to the States, and the manager is in exile. So, yeah, I think the Bay Stars are right for the picking.
No, they're giving him a mental respite. Isn't that what they said?
Obama doesn't need a mental respite. He needs to go back and be a pitching coach. Okay, anyway, but that's another thing.
Yeah.
So it remains to be seen whether Takao Obana will return as the manager of the Yokohama DeNA Bay Stars.
Probably not. But we wish him luck.
These health time off for health tend to be fatal to managers' careers. They usually don't return from them.
Yep. Yeah. Well, hopefully he'll be back. Now, tell me about your thoughts about Nabekyu sending Wakui out there for that 10th inning in that game.
We were watching the game together. And I told you I wouldn't have sent him out there for the ninth.
No, you wouldn't have sent him out for the ninth. I didn't hear you say that because I remember saying, well, I think I'm done with him. He's done a great job, but you got to go to somebody else now.
Well, I was thinking.
So you were done with him after 8, huh?
Well, I told you I did a study. Haven't looked for
that's
it.
That's right, you did say that.
I did a study, and the from 2006 to the middle of 2010, I'm just guessing now, so please forgive me if I'm not up on it, but there were about 16 times when a visiting pitcher went into the bottom of the ninth of a tie game.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say there were 16 games. How many times did that visiting team win? And the answer was none.
Yeah.
I think there was one tie, and there were 0-14-1. So the answer is don't send. I mean, just based on past history, don't send your starting pitcher out to the ninth inning in the ninth inning on the road in a tie game. You got better guys, fresher guys in the bullpen. Use them. They're there for a reason. And if they can't get the job done, then you don't belong there.
Now, the other part of that story is though that, and you and I were both were watching these two pitches, and
it was one and two.
It came back.
And then he took a pitch that was definitely a strike on the outside.
Well, I don't know if it was that. I
think it was.
He didn't move. He did move his glove, and the umpire didn't have to move. And normally you get that call when all those three things are in place.
The other thing is, regardless of the camera angle, the glove wasn't that far out of the zone. And for a right-hander to throw a fastball that's not really out of the zone, it's got to go over the plate. It's not going to tail back. It's not a slider. It's not going to go the other way. That ball's got across the
street. Yeah, when he threw it, I'm punching a guy out in the office, and he didn't get the call. Then he throws a slider, I think, or some breaking pitch on the inside part of the plate, and didn't get that call, and I would have rung him up on that one too.
That one was a little more of a question mark, but again, it was breaking over the plate. I think it couldn't have hit the catcher's glove where it was if it hadn't broken over the plate.
Yeah.
And I'm ringing him out on that one too, and the next one. So Wakui throws one that there's no mistake about.
Yeah, it's right down the middle. Yeah. See, you couldn't get him out on the outside part of the plate. You couldn't get him out on the inside part of the plate. You figured the only place to throw it was down the middle. Now split the difference.
I think he was aiming it. It was a lifeless straight as string fastball, and it got what it deserved.
It was unfortunate, is what it was. Yeah. But I mean, you know, those kinds of pitches always get sent somewhere. You know, they don't get fouled back as often as you'd like to have them fouled back. But yeah, it's too bad. It was a good game. It was a good way to finish off that series. It was exciting. And
well, the best way to finish off that series was to put it out of its misery in the bottom of the 12th inning. And so we get to thank Makita and Hasegawa for conspiring to put us all out of our misery, out of that, just end that farce as soon as possible and let the Hawks get on with what they had to do, which was celebrate.
Well, just as you said, I have to agree. I don't think anybody on the Lions side wanted to be out there. The manager had already headed toward the clubhouse.
But,
I mean,
when they had a runner on second, they intentionally walked somebody. What are you prolonging the damage for? I don't know. I didn't understand that. If you're not going to play, don't play. Well, play in protest.
Yeah.
Or even better, you know what they do? Walk, pull your team off the field and forfeit.
Do something. You know what?
That's childish.
They did play within the rules, and that's, you know, they did what they had to do. And actually, he's probably trying to give up home run pitches, and they kept him in the park. So, because I'm sure that, like I said, I don't think they wanted to be out there any more than, the Hawks wanted to actually have to prolong their celebration festivities and play that half inning. So, it ended fairly quickly. So we're all good. But congratulations to the Lions for, you know, coming back and then winning their first stage the way they won. And they played a good game. Even the game where Matsunaga hit this grand slam as a pinch hitter, the 7-2 game that they won, even that game was exciting. I mean, too bad that it was another wayward pitch that found the middle of the plate knee high. And it just happened to be with a power hitter up there, and it just happened to be with the bases loaded. It didn't lose the game. It just kind of put it out of reach. You know, but they played a good series. Congratulations to the Lions.
Well, they played a superb series in Sapporo. If there weren't so many S's in that, I'd probably have less trouble with it. And they came down the full of heart. They believed they could win, and, you know, the Hawks thought, well, they could have beaten another. They probably could have beaten a normal team.
Right. But the Hawks
are like something out of the X-Files. they're pretty impressive.
Yeah. All right, let's head over to the Central League now. The Dragons finished their series with the Swallows. They win it 4-2 with that one win advantage start. So I don't know whether to refer to, let's take a time out here. I don't even know what to refer to these games as, because game one's already been played, apparently.
Right.
It's a paper game. It's a paper victory. And then we have to start off by playing game one.
Right. And then I'm at the office.
Which is really
today,
game two, because you win it, you're up 2-1.
Right. I'm in the office today, and our coworker, who's our rugby writer, said, wait a second, I'm confused. How can the series be tied 2-2 when they've only played 3 games? This doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
You know what? He's right. It doesn't make sense. It is stupid.
It's idiotic. And
it is
if
idiotic.
They're going to do that, then, hey, let's start at game two. Let's start the series playing game two on the field. Because how would you say the one win? First of all, they call it a one game advantage, but it's a one win advantage, because it's not just a game. Well, you say same difference, but I mean, it helps when you're trying to figure out how to refer to these games if you call it game two and you say.
There's no normal way to refer to this kind of asininity.
There's a nice word.
I knew you'd catch that one.
You have all the S's in Sapporo and the other one, you can't say that. Asininity, I love it.
There's some asinines in
there. Anasinus, I love it. All right, so Dragons, the Dragons finish off the Swallows in the most unlikely way I think I've seen them since I came to Japan win a series, and that's with a light-hitting infielder hitting a home run on a hit-and-run. Is it just a hit-and-run?
Yeah, make contact, babe.
And he jacked
through the infield.
He jacks his first, I think they said it was his first home run since September 13th, and he's only got one in the regular season, and now he's got two this season. Hirokazu Iwata, unbelievable. Oh. And this, I mean,
just again, that guy's eye medication.
That's right, didn't we? He didn't get suspended. He didn't get anything for that. I'm sorry, he got a fine, right?
I think we talked about it earlier. I don't know.
He got a fine, or
the Dragons. The Dragons were fined for not writing on the bottles or something.
They were fined for not telling him to stop taking that.
Exactly.
Put that down. Anyway, he hits a two-run home run in the sixth inning, and Kazuki Yoshimi, their ace, working on 3 days rest, throws eight scoreless, and awesome. Tateyama was awesome on 2 days rest, and he had thrown two innings in game two in relief. I mean, he was doing all he could.
Hey, man, what a great, what is it? Isn't that great? I mean, I love this stuff. It's different.
My only problem was that.
Oh, I want to hear John's only problem. Go ahead.
With this scenario is okay. That with one out in the sixth inning, right, and Tadayama made as many pitches to first base as he did to Iwata. He threw five times to try to keep Araki from doing what? There's already one out. We already know this is Japanese baseball. He's not going to run. The only thing they might do, which is what they did, was finally put on a hit and run. But it wasn't, you know, it wasn't that they had tried to put the hit and run on a couple times and he fouled, and Iwata fouled some pitches up. He swung at one pitch and, they're throwing over to first base five times. And this is the situation that happens is you split your attention, the guy, and he was firing over to first base. So I contend that he made 10 pitches in that at bat and that the 10th one got hit for a home run because it was a wayward fastball. You need to concentrate on the guy with the bat, you know? I didn't really understand that. And it cost him. And he kind of, you know, Tateyama gave up the home run and he kind of stood there staring out into the Nagoya Dome, you know, vastness out there in center field, thinking, you know, what the hell just happened? Right. Even, you know, giving up the home run that you're about to, I don't know. I mean, that's a shot. Any pitcher who, you know, there's only one way that kid can hit a home run. That's to yank a pitch high, and you know, you supply most of the power, and he just gets around on it and somehow keeps it fair down the line. That's how he hit his other home run. Man, oh man, he really launched this thing, but you got to really pay attention to the guy with the bat, in my opinion. I don't think you throw it at first base five times. And a guy like Araki, I mean, he steals on some catchers, but he doesn't have that kind of speed anymore. He just kind of, you know, they usually put on a play, but there was already one out. I mean, they just wanted to stay out of a double play. That's it.
And Tatiana was trying to keep him in a double play, which is what he needs to do. So.
Yeah, but I mean, a couple looks, two throws, and let's get on with this at bat.
Well, I hate that anyway. You know me and the pickoff throws. I think they should be outlawed pretty much. I mean that because they slow the game down to almost no purpose. It gives us something that you get in some ways. If you can get rid of all the pickoff throws or most of the pickoff throws, what do? You put speed in the game because you have guys who are running, stealing more bases. You have guys with speed doing something exciting, and it takes less time. You spend less time watching this supposedly interesting cat and mouse game that nobody really wants to see.
No.
What we want to see is guys doing things other than looking at first base, looking at the catcher, looking at first base, stepping off the rubber,
faking a throw.
No.
Get back to first base before I throw this ball over there.
I'm just gonna look and make you stand there.
Well,
you know, it's like that's disrespectful. I mean, that is disrespectful to everybody. But it's winning baseball, so we're gonna have it in Japan. This is what like Mr. Ochai is all about, which that drives me nuts. He's all about winning, and sometimes winning is being more boring than anybody else in the field.
Yeah,
and I hate it, but manager's job is to go out and do it, so I can't blame him too much. But Japanese baseball needs to pull the finger out and do something with it.
I agree. I mean, I don't think, to me, honestly, I don't want to outlaw the pitch to the thrower to first, but maybe we could limit it, you know?
Yeah, I mean,
pitcher can only throw twice in an event, and then that's it. Let's go.
Well, yeah, I think there's the Bill James one was if you miss, you get one pickoff throw, And if you miss the next one, if the guy's not out the second time, then he goes to second base. or you put a ball on the batter.
I could see a ball on the batter because,
Sense to me. You give the batter a ball. Okay, now we're putting ourselves in a worse situation. Okay, so.
Exactly. Or the game is moving. It's not a non-play.
The game is moving.
It's not a non-play.
Not only is the game moving, but it puts faster people in the game because now speed is of the essence.
Well,
I mean, you get more fast guys running the bases. Man, that's fun stuff.
Get more exciting baseball. It's true.
Yeah,
true.
That's fun stuff.
Talk about your exciting baseball now. I mean, after the Swallows lost the first game, which gave them a 6-game losing streak at Nagoya Dome against the Dragons.
Right.
I love what the Yakult manager Ogawa did. He made some changes. He made some major changes.
Sure.
Surprising changes.
So we had in game two, we had Murnaka. Was it Murnaka?
Yep.
Murnaka comes out, and he was used in middle relief, essentially, at Jingu against the Giants. And he comes out, and he's the starter. And the Dragons got to be thinking, wow.
Whoa.
I know. I'm like, wait a second. We thought they were going to use him in middle relief, and here he is. He came in. Masabuchi started the first game, who was supposed to be in middle relief all along.
But you predicted, you said.
Well, that was, a good guess.
It was a good guess. Well, I was with you.
And then Murnaka comes out, and he's been an up-and-down starter. He hasn't been very good recently. He does good in one part of the season and doesn't the rest. He looked good, and Swallows win.
Well, that was the second game.
That was the second game.
Yeah, Ishikawa threw the second game.
Oh, excuse me, Ishikawa throws the second game. Oh, I'm sorry, I have these games late at night while I'm in transit from the office.
Blame the office. Yes, yeah. blame the office. No, I know. I have the same problem.
Everything is the company's fault.
It is. So, Muranaka throws game three, but he only throws 3 1/3 innings, and then, 2, 4, 5 relievers come on to keep the Dragons scoreless the rest of the way. Unbelievable.
And the Swallows are not, this is a series where neither team is particularly strong or overpowering. It's a lot of chance things that can happen. These two teams are very evenly matched, especially with the Dragons missing their two big foreign pitchers, Soto and Yelbert.
And Yelbert, yes. I can repeat it. I just can't say it on my own. Yes.
And Yelbert humping Soto and Maximum Caliber Nelson.
Yeah, who got some kind of a fever. They didn't actually say what he had. They just said that he had a fever and that, he was unavailable. And he was actually in the dugout tonight, and he got to celebrate with the team, so that was nice.
Well, that
but he wasn't able to pitch.
Japan Series, they will need him.
They will need him, yeah. We'll get into that later. But, these reliever, Tony Barnett, comes out. He throws, 2 1/3 innings, scoreless. And then the only guy who really didn't pitch well, and he only got to face one guy, was Watanabe, and he walked the only batter he faced. And then Oshimoto Matsuoka and then Lim came out and shut the door, and they walked away with a victory. And this is a night after the gutless Chen. And I did the research. I went back. I whipped him good. And I say that he always, in these close games, if he's winning 1-0 or if it's tied, he ends up allowing a home run, and that was not the case. It's not always a home run.
Okay.
But he gives up runs consistently in close games.
I'll tell you a funny thing, and we did this research independently, and because John was moaning about it a fair amount, and so I said, okay, well, Chen can't be that bad. And when I looked at two things. First of all, I looked at the batting line against him. And I'll tell you, when you look at Chen's results in the postseason in terms of the hits he allows, the walks he allows, the home runs he allows, you think this guy should be 6-1 in the postseason. He should be, he's a stud. He's got the numbers of a stud. And then when you look at his earned run average, you think, what went wrong? This guy gives up very few hits, very few walks, very few base runners, but a lot of runs. So something weird has been going on with Chen. And so John has identified it in the pit of his stomach, and you can hear it.
He's a,
whenever Jen bitches, John, you can hear John whispering.
He's the Tin Man.
Tin Man.
He's got no heart.
Okay. The famous heart. Well, maybe the swallows will will him some. The swallows won't need theirs right now.
Yeah. So, the dragons come back tonight. Yoshimiya was he was awesome. Perfect for 4 1/3 innings, I think. Mm. And then, gives up an infield single and really didn't get hit hard very much at all.
Right.
When he allowed 3 hits.
Sure.
And he left, after 8 innings, and the Dragons pieced together their 2 stoppers. I think that we can safely say now that Asao is half, you know, he's the right-handed stopper and Iwase is the left-handed stopper.
Yeah, but it was, you know, even with the score 2-0, it was again a really, really close game. I mean, it was a closer game than 2-0 because both teams, you know, had 4 base runners. You know, the Swallows had 3 base runners through 8, and the Dragons had 4. It's just 2 of them scored.
Right,
and they didn't have chances. Really.
No, they didn't. They didn't. And the interesting thing about this series is there were 5 games. And the loser scored 1 run in each of the games.
No shutouts.
No shutouts, but only 1 run.
Like it might be. Well, tonight was when I left the office. It looked like it might be a 0-0 tie, and I'm thinking, goody, somebody will learn the error of their ways. Please. But no chance.
Yeah. By the time you got home, it was 2-0, and that's.
Was indeed. It was all over.
All you needed to win. So.
Yep.
Yeah, the loser had 1 run in each of the games. It's pretty interesting. Little footnote. So yeah, Iwase allowed an RBI single to Aoki and then got the hook. And Asao came in and got Hatakeyama to end it.
Right.
And,
I think Asao is definitely, okay, well, if your name is Morimichi Takagi and you have a modicum of brains, which is not necessarily a given
thing.
Yeah,
don't trust him to do anything intelligent, no.
Well, last time he was, let's see. I can't say the last time he was manager. I do remember it, but that's my memory is faulty at this stage of my life. But anyway, yeah, Sal's going to be your closer next year, I think. What do you do with Iwase?
You know, they do what they do with a lot of pitchers like Kiyoshi Toyota. You know, you just let him pitch when you can.
Yeah, bring him as use him as a setup guy. I mean, he can go back and do that. He was good at it before.
Yeah, and he's actually Ochai's been using him to get through. If he'll pitch to a couple batters, if he allows a base runner, he's out.
Yeah,
and so then Asao comes in and cleans it up, or somebody else.
The stopper of first resort.
So they kind of piece it together. They've been doing that for the whole second half of the season. I don't see any reason to change now.
It's not hyper efficient, but
Because in the Japan series, probably they're gonna. I mean, there's a lot of left-handed power. There's a lot of right-handed power with the Hawks. They're not gonna be able to do that in one inning where they have to use
two
pitchers.
How many double plays do you think Alex Cabrera is gonna hit into?
Well, we were joking on Saturday that he had come up 4 times at that point and had struck out twice and grounded into 2 double plays. So he had.
Last time we were wondering which it would be. Yeah.
Well, he's got a bad hammy, right?
He does. He can't run. He probably won't play in the Pacific League Park. Although he brings in the Central League Park. He brings a dimension because he can really sock the ball. He doesn't swing really well with a bad leg, but he still puts some juice into the ball when he connects.
Let's go ahead and talk about this Japan series now. It's rematch of the 1999 Japan series when the Hawks wiped the Dragons out in 5 quick games. It was like a 5-game sweep in my opinion, but.
In which the Lions did what they did until 2007, which was play absolutely pitifully at home.
Lions or Hawks?
The Dragons.
Oh, the Dragons.
Dragons. Slip of the tongue there.
That's all right. So, I remember that series, and I remember Kenshin Kawakami won the only game for the Dragons. He won it down in Fukuoka.
Game two.
And then the Dragons came back, and they were licking their chops, and they're like, okay, we're at home, blah, 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 we're going to play well. And they lost all 3 games at home, and the series was over, and it was amazing. We looked around, and we're like, yeah, but the pitches that they were swinging at were the bad ones, and the pitches that they took were the strikes that they should have been swinging at, and nobody had a good series, and nobody did anything, and how'd they lose?
That was the... That was such a weird series. There was I don't know if it helps really to talk too much about the 1999 series. We've got so much going on in 2001.
That's true.
But the Dragons were overmatched to begin with. They shouldn't have been. I don't think anybody really. They were the favorites. They were the big favorites in that series for some reason. But they were a team that had dodged so many bullets to get there. They had the worst record going into the Japan series of any team, I think any team in the last 20 years. They barely won the league. They were missing one of their big home run hitters. They had essentially one home run hitter on the team, and that's a big difference.
Takeshi Yamasaki broke a wrist playing first base and sticking, he's fueling a bad throw and trying to tag the runner out, and he stuck his hand as the runner was going by and snapped his wrist back. Oh, no, it wasn't jammed. It snapped it back.
Okay. Well, anyway, that's the thing. The Hawks were big favorites. The Dragons were big favorites, and we're talking about how their speed was going to make the difference because they were the speedy team.
I didn't hear that. What I heard was their pitching was going to dominate. You know,
they had really strong
pitches, particularly at Nagoya Dome. They were supposed to be able to pitch through these issues, and that turned out not to be the case. But yeah,
I think we're going to see, you know, these teams are not that dissimilar. Of course, here's where the 1999 comes in, is because the teams aren't that dissimilar now from what they were then, except the Hawks are now a massive pitching team to go with the big offense.
Right, right.
I mean, speaking of the quizzes for the listeners out there, so can you name the four players who are still on the Dragons and Hawks rosters who took part in that series?
And when you asked me that question, I thought right away, I know this one. And I thought the first one who came to mind was Araki, because I remember bumping into him at Nagoya Dome that year and when he was a really young player. And when he was still an outfielder and a late game pinch runner.
Yep.
And I was sure it was him, but you said he didn't play. He didn't play in the series. So then I was shocked. And then I said, well, it had to be Ibata. He was on the team. And
right.
Then you
he
said,
didn't play either.
No, that's strike two. So then I decided, okay, well, it has to be pitchers. And, right. You came up with, I actually couldn't think of him on my own. However, this pitcher in particular, the one I was thinking about, has not pitched on the first team this year, I don't think, and that's Yamamoto
Masahiro. So unlikely that he's going to get a chance for his elusive first Japan series win.
Yeah. And the other pitcher I didn't think about, but it should have. He was a rookie that year, as I recall now, right?
I believe he was.
And
he was a good reliever.
Hitoki Iwase.
Iwase.
Now the closer. So I struck out. So if you guys, if the listeners nailed those, that's pretty good of you. Now what about
the Hawks? Are a lot easier.
The Hawks are a lot easier. And I did that one without even thinking. And I'm sure most of you can, right? Michael Westbay, I'm sure you can.
Okay, Nobuhiko Matsunaka and Hiroki Kokubo.
Yep.
I don't recall either. It wasn't a big series for hitters. It was a big series for big defensive plays. But that Hawks team was stacked. They had Jojima was in his prime. Jojima was just coming into his own. Iguchi was just becoming one of the best players in the game. They had Akiyama, who was at the very end of his career, but had an outstanding series.
And now he's the skipper coming back?
Well, a lot of those players are now on the benches for their respective teams as coaches. And it's going to be fun. It is going to be really fun. The Dragons team are a very resilient team, and then so were the Lions.
Yeah,
and they got turned into bird food.
Well, the famous line I like, I think Mike Tyson used to say this line all the time, is everybody has a plan until they get hit. And I think that's going to be the situation with the Dragons. They have lots of plans out there until the balls start flying around, and then you can just duck and run, or run and duck, maybe. I don't know which order it's going to be.
But I'll tell you that, you know, when the Dragons owner announced that Ochai would not be back, and saying he was one of the better managers in team history. And yeah. Of course, we discussed it. That's like, you know, that's sort of like saying Abraham Lincoln was one of the more important figures of the American Civil War.
Yeah, thanks a lot. You're really helping us.
Or something else. Yeah, George Washington was one of the first presidents of the United States. Okay, so Ochai has had the 2014 that he won this. The Central League with as a first year skipper was a team that was it was a good offensive team, but it lacked power and that it lacked a lot of things, but they got it done, and they were they're under him. They have always had the confidence that if they do, and this is not speaking as a Dragons fan, so an uneducated opinion, but they've always had this confidence that they can win if they play within themselves and they play up to their abilities.
Well, one of the other philosophies he has is, you know, he doesn't overemphasize trying to score runs. He says, look, if we play strong defensively and we pitch well and we don't give up any runs, even if we don't score, we haven't lost the game yet.
Right.
And, you know, if we can figure out a way to score, we're going to win the game. And, you know, I want to mention this real quickly before we get to answering questions, but the Dragons, this will be their 10th appearance in the Japan Series, and in 8 years, Ochai has guided them to 5 of those.
Right.
2004, 6, 7, 10, and then this year. So he credited the players and the staff, the coaching staff, after the game tonight. But I think we all know that it's the philosophy and the mindset that he brings.
Well, it is the players and the staff, because he lets them do their he wants the smart guys who and he's demanding, and he lets them do their job. So yeah, so more power to you. You know, it's unfortunate that Japanese baseball is not set up to take guys who, they need the Dragon system cannot handle a manager, cannot succeed, have a proper staff. One of my friends pointed this out to me. It's kind of a shame that, you know, in the majors, you don't need the manager to be a rah-rah guy. You don't need him to be Bobby Valentine, because you have a front office that does the marketing and sells the team.
Mm-hmm.
But in Japan, if your manager is, you know, a bit of a recluse, a hermit like Ochai is.
He's got really trollish qualities.
Yeah, Asa has a little bit of the, you know, the troll and turn to stone at sunlight kind of air about him. You can't deal with that because he's the face of the team, and they really don't have an answer. They don't have an apparatus to sell the team. They don't really have a clue, so they fire the manager, and that's a shame because he's an outstanding talent at what he does. He's annoying as all heck. His teams are boring. His style of managing is exceedingly boring and slow. It's all about gamesmanship, but the league should be taking care of that and preventing that kind of stuff from taking over the game, and the team should be handling the marketing side, and they should let Ochai just manage within the restrictions and let him win.
Exactly.
So that's my 10 cents worth. I exceeded my mandate by 5 times.
I'm with you. All right, what's your prediction in the series?
Hawks in 5.
Oh, man, did you copy me? You copied me again. John's my idol. Is that what the line you're getting? That's the line you're
getting. That is. I was reading your mind. I was hoping to be the same as you.
I got Hawks in 5, and that's because in Interleague, Yoshimi was the only one who managed to beat the Dragons were 1-3 against the Hawks in Interleague, and Yoshimi managed to beat them, and so maybe I'm thinking he can do it again with some Herculean effort.
Well, yeah, they were 1-3. That's better than most of the Central League teams.
That's probably true.
I think they only lost 3 games in Interleague, so.
Okay. All right, let's go to fielding questions. All right, this is the last question in a list from Walker.
Yeah, you go, Walker, man. Yeah. This guy's a scooter. He's not a walker.
He's a runner, at least. Yeah.
Indeed.
He says, word on the street is that MLB is going to alter its postseason format. Do you think MPB has any changes of its own in store? I have to say no. I hope not, except for these stupid one game or one win advantage things. I think there's so few teams in the in both leagues that they can't add any more teams to the playoff format.
Unfortunately, yeah.
And I don't really want to see them subtract any more teams from the format, since it makes all these games so relevant. Well, not all, but a lot of the games, especially in the second half, that used to be just nothing games. It's made them more of them relevant, brought out more fans. You got Buffalo fans out there watching games that, you know, that used to not mean a thing.
Right.
So I hope, you know, the quick answer is I hope not. I'd like to see it stay basically the same. Remove the one win advantage and play one of those games. Play one of those games. Let's say that third place or second place team can push the series to 5 games. You know, why not play that, get that, earn that game at home?
Why not play the first game? Play the first game at the lower seeded team's park and all the rest on the road or something. But
that's, I would like to see that. Yeah, something
that ain't gonna happen.
I don't see it happening either. Yeah,
I don't. It is not gonna happen because that's too much. That requires too much imagination for these dumb old men. I wasn't gonna cross the line there, Gibson. Give me some slack. Okay, now as far as in the framework of the way the Climax series is managed, yeah, I like giving the team one home game, but that requires, again, more management. What I think the most doable outcome is to play them like they're playing them this year, in rapid-fire fashion. This Climax series is the best ever, not necessarily because of the results of the games, but because there is so little time off between the games.
Yeah, they got started right away this time.
Right. So, yeah, get the season over, do an even better job of getting the season over on time, and then get into the Climax series, and then get into the Japan series. This is, you know, we got the Japan series starting on Saturday. Teams will be working out on Friday. This is the way it should be. It could be better, but this is the way it's going to work.
Yeah, Saturday, 1:00 at Fukuoka Dome.
We are going to have, again, the first daylight Japan series games. Well, hopefully
that won't be daylight. It'll be,
somebody will remember to open the roof.
I don't think they'll open it. I think
they haven't
closed.
Done that since the All-Star game, I think, last year.
It'll be
but to have open the roof, it'll be the first day game, I think, since 1995.
Wow, that's a long.
They tried it for a couple of years. No, did not even 1990. They tried it in 1994, and it was a flop because they had the night games outside it at Seibu Dome, and they had the day games inside at Tokyo Dome. But before that, they were all day games.
Yeah, they used to play a lot of day games.
1993. Well, 1993 until 1993, every Japan series was a day game.
The good old days. The good old days.
Before I was 120. Okay.
But, the reason, one thing to keep in mind, the reason that the season has stretched into November like this is because we got a late start with the earthquake and tsunami that happened in March. So keep that in mind. In a normal year, we'd be done. And then
we would be just, in fact, we would have been done today.
That's right. All right, and a friend of the program, Clement, in France, says, good show. He says, for good show, for next time, I'm interested to hear your opinion about the potential posting candidates or free agents who will go to the major leagues, because there has been some talk about it lately, and not only on Darvish. I'm thinking about Aoki of the Swallows, Kawasaki of the Hawks, Nakajima of the Lions, Wada of the Hawks, Iwakuma of the Eagles, and Darvish are the rumored ones. For you, who will go, and who are the most likely ones to get some success?
Well, you want to start?
How
about your buddy Kawasaki?
You can't take that swing to the major leagues. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that he's just up there to make contact with any pitch that stays in the zone long enough.
Your buddy Alfredo Griffin, not Alfredo Figueroa, used to have a swing similar, and even his was twice as strong or as forceful a swing as Mr. Kawasaki. I don't think you can take that kind of a swing to the major league.
Yeah, he's,
but he can play defense.
Yeah, but he doesn't have a great arm. So you're stuck with a shortstop or a second baseman who's not as good as Nishioka. Well, actually, he is a better. You know, he's a better shortstop.
He's a better
He does not have the physical tools. This is a guy who is. He doesn't have the physical tools, but he has the drive. You know, he's a better shortstop. He's a better player, in my mind, than Nishioka, because he's more motivated to be a better player.
Yeah.
There's no question in my mind, Nishioka, if Nishioka was motivated to play at the top of his ability all the time, if that were possible, that he's got, you know, he's one of these players who just doesn't have the inner fire to be the best all the time, and that's a big difference. Kawasaki does, and he lacks, you know, he doesn't have a big, strong swing.
and he lacks the strength, the overall strength, I think. So
right.
All right.
But he could probably help a team on the bench. He could come in as a defensive replacement. I don't know if anybody wants to pay somebody at, you know, for a free agent. He'd get an invitation to camp.
Yeah. Probably.
And he might make it. I'll bet he'd impress somebody enough to make a team, provided they needed help in the middle of the infield. But
yeah, I think Nakajima is a strong candidate to have some success.
Nakajima could actually, I think he could start in the majors.
Yeah, I think, as we saw with Tsuyoshi Shingo when he went over, as long as you get a lot of fastballs to hit, you can be successful. Right. And I think if they try to throw him fastballs, he will
He's got a couple of hot spots, and he's going to have to in his. He's got some hot spots in his strike zone that he can really wail on some pitches.
Yeah,
and he's got the physical tools. He's always had the physical tools to be a really good shortstop, and he has made great strides in his concentration in defense. That he could, he's a better shortstop than Nishioka, not because he's got better tools, but because he pays attention to what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
That didn't always used to be the case. I love him now. I love his defense now. And when he's not nearly as fast as he used to be, teams might think third base. Teams might think second base. He could be a major league second baseman for sure. I think he's Iwamura. He's very, very similar to Iwamura. He'd be a better second baseman than Iwamura, and probably hit just as well.
I think so. Let's see, who else we have? Wada, Tsuyoshi Wada with the Hawks.
Rumored to go to the Dodgers.
Yeah, I heard about that. I think he could go over and have similar success such as Kuroda has had. But then I can easily see him not having success and struggling to pitch every fifth day and having to deal with a lot of power hitters in the bigs. Same with Iwakuma. I would think that, they might struggle with a little bit of the power that those guys have. And they don't have a lot of really good movement on their pitches. So
Iwakuma does, but
on his breaking stuff. But but he's got to use his fastball to set up the other pitches. And while he's trying to set up, they might be whacked around a little bit. So and he doesn't throw all that hard. But I mean, I like him. I think he could have some success over that. I just don't see him having great success.
I think Wada has a better chance, if only because of his mechanics are very sound and he's very durable compared to Iwakuma. Iwakuma's has had trouble with injuries here and there. He's a competitor, but he loses the game plan sometimes when he's pitching. I love his stuff. I mean, I think he could pitch. I don't think anybody doubts that.
Oh, definitely.
But he's going to be. I don't think he's just going to be durable. This is the big question mark I had for Kenshi and Kawakami. Not that he's not a fighter, the toughest guy you'll ever want to know, but whether he had the makeup after all these arm troubles and a Japanese system that said it programmed him to be pitching every sixth or seventh day to go and pitch every fifth day or sixth day, and I think that is a problem. With Iwakuma's elbow and arm history, I think no. I think that's too much.
That's why I said every fifth day. I mean, that's what I would see them struggling with. Maybe not so much with stuffs, but pitching every fifth day would be.
It's not like you're going to put him in the bullpen? Maybe. But he has never done it. I mean, Uehara had been hated being in the bullpen, but he was really good at it.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't put him in the bullpen, but I think he goes over thinking number four, number five starter, and he tries to hang on to that spot. That's what I think he would.
It's gonna be hard.
Yeah, I think.
Darvish, if he goes, I think he's gonna as long as he can remain, keep his mechanics stable with his frame and with his, whatever his body issues are. And I think the majors will be as good a place for him as the fighters. I think he'll flourish.
Yeah, I can't see any problem with him other than maybe trying to overpower a lot of guys too often and maybe getting burned by that. Other than that, I think he's got the stuff to...
But he's always been, he hasn't been a pitcher. He's always been... we think of pitchers of his quality. We think Matsuzaka, and I guess Matsuzaka is the most recent comp. And Matsuzaka was always a, you know, he was always a fighter, and he had to fight. And you would, and Darvish is less about fighting as he is about winning.
Mm-hmm.
And I've found that basically, you know, in 2006 when he had his breakthrough season in the fighter's first pennant, he wasn't throwing his he was barely throwing his four seamer. I mean, this is he had a sinker, and he had a cutter that were just, and you know, it's a two seamer that were just eating batters up. And I asked him, why don't you throw it? Because, you know, Mike Brown, the pitching coach, says, you know, he'd love to see your four seamer more. And he says, well, I'm doing fine now. And he was working on it.
Yeah,
he was working on it, because the second half he came out and he went to that four seamer, and batters went up there, and they just left their bat in the dugout.
Yep.
he's somebody who's ready to make adjustments. He's not hanging on to the fact that he has to overpower people. He's hanging on to the fact that he's expected to win, and that's his plan. Let's see, who do we have left? Aoki has been talking about going for years and years. Whether they post him or not is another issue. He's got a couple of years left. How many years? He started 2005 was his first year as a regular, so that means 2013 will be his first year for international free agency. 2014, he's a couple of years away. I don't know what kind of deal he seems to think he's going to go.
Well, I like his swing, and I think actually, again, if he gets a lot of fastballs, he's a guy who can do like Shinjo did, which is, you know, raise his batting average about 50 points over there. In theory, I just don't know that defensively. I think they're going to have to find a spot for him, because I don't think the way he's been playing center field, especially the second half this year, is going to fly over there.
It ain't going to fly anything that he's been doing now. So he's, you know, it's funny, because a lot of guys who want to go to the majors, they have this sort of. I don't, you know, I'm going to make it sound like I'm a player and I know what I'm talking about, but I really don't. But it seems like they have this image. They build up this image of what they are as a major league player here in Japan, and they try to model themselves into that kind of major league player here. And the answer is, you know, you just got to be yourself and be the best player. You can't be worried. And it seemed almost like Aoki's been trying to be a major league player here, but it's irrelevant. You know, because you got to compete here, and when you go to the majors, you got to compete there, and the image doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can build your strength up, and you can work on stuff, and all you can work on, but you still got to play, because baseball is not about, it's not about image, it's about winning games. And if teams think you're going to win games, they're going to put you on the roster and give you a chance to do that. And I think Aoki's game is, he's a great talent, but he's got a little more flash. He's got some excess flash that he needs to get rid of and just get down to basics. I mean, just his playing style. I think he learned that. Kazumatsui did that too, because Kazumatsui, I think almost went through exactly the same stage in his career when he was about 26, that he thought the base stealing was going to hurt his longevity in the majors. So he cut down on the base stealing. You know, he thought, I can always go back to it. But he wanted to stay healthy so he could get to the majors. And I think Aoki, when he first started seriously thinking about the majors, this word comes down, you know, from Rob talking to Aaron Guile a lot, was that he basically stopped diving for balls in the outfield. He stopped taking chances because he didn't want to hurt his major league career. As soon as you start thinking about what you're going to protect, you're not going to have anything to protect.
Yeah.
So I wonder about what he's going to bring, because Kazumatsui, it's unfortunate he could have been a better player in the majors if he hadn't started in New York. Same thing, I think, for Egawa. But anyway, so yeah, you can't leave it. You can't be thinking about what's going to happen to your career 3 years down the road. Your career is now.
That's right, baby. And right now it's time to say goodbye. But you can send us an email at yakyujohn@gmail.com, or go to our Facebook page and leave us a message there. Japan Series starting on Saturday. We will record the next show after Game 2 on Sunday night. And then the show after that will hopefully conclude the season. And then we will decide. We're talking about going twice a month. We're going to decide on when we're going to start that, because I have to get my computer repaired. But we will use your emails to, you know, get us through the winter stages, and we'll talk about player trades and movements
and other stuff.
And there's other stuff to talk about, but we'll probably have some quick shows. So we went over time today. I hope thank you for bearing with us. We appreciate it. Thank you for listening to the show. Have a good week and enjoy your baseball. Thanks a lot, Jim.
Study someone.